Good morning. Well, I was a little concerned about 10 minutes ago. There was only about 4 or 5 of us in here, and now there's a good bit more. So good to see you all here. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. I like how a lot of Paul's letters, that's how he opens up. Grace and peace to you. So that's why I used that this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this people. You are welcome in this family. We love you, and we look forward to what you are going to do among us this morning.
Yes, God.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Amen.
I saw this verse this week, and I'm not sure how it really fits in other than it's scripture, but I really liked it. And some of the scripture that Brother Fred is using, it kind of goes, but Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. But I just love that the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So let's lean on Him in His understanding. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. Thinking about this morning and putting together the order of worship, I just started hearing the words, would you live for Jesus? His power can make you what you ought to be. Lord knows I can't make myself what I ought to be. But I know that He can, and I trust Him. So the hymn we're going to sing this morning to begin our service is His Way With Thee. It's hymn number 335 in the hymnal, and the words will be on the screen. But would you let Him have His way with you? So if you're willing and able, please stand with me as we sing, Have His Way With Thee. Isn't it better when we take our hands off and let Him? I know it is in my life. Y'all are able, y'all may sit down. Brother Fred, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Father God, we come to this day and Lord, we give ourselves to You. Lord, have Your way with us, Lord, today. May Your Holy Spirit just come and be with us, Lord. May He speak to our hearts today. Lord, as we come today, we come to worship You as our God and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, as we do that, Lord, may our hearts be renewed. May our strength, Lord, be restored, that we can be Your people in this place, to share the word of Jesus with those we know and love and those we don't even know, Lord, that don't know You. Lord, everything we do, we pray that it will be for the honor and glory of the name of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray this morning. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Amen. So I'm reading from one of the readings in our hymnal. It's on page 680, if you would like to look along. But it's several verses from several chapters, and I'm not noting and stopping because it kind of flows together. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is as strong as death. Rivers cannot sweep it away. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Love one another.
Amen.
We are God's children, His heirs, and co-heirs with Christ. Praise God that He brings us together and makes us a family. Family to do His work together, family to share life struggles together, family to share His victory together, and family to share Him to the world. Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God?
Amen.
I know I am. Let's give Him the glory this morning as we sing together 681, The Family of God. We're going to sing it two times through, and then y'all are going to have a time of greeting and greet each other. So if you're willing and able, please stand as we sing The Family of God, and let's just shout it out loud. We're glad to be a part of the family of God.
The band.
greet your brothers and sisters this morning. I'll give him praise this morning for putting us together as a family. Give him a clap offering if anybody's listening. Give him a clap offering. Yes. Well, our announcements this morning, Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. our breakfast group meet together at Jack's on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11. You know, I realize I just call it the breakfast group, but it's not a group in particular. Anybody can go meet at Jack's for breakfast at 9:30. Yeah, just join. That is, again, 9:30, Trustful, Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11, Jack's. Wednesday night Bible study, 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, studying the Book of Acts. On Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 a.m. here in the Worship Center. Coming up this Friday, July the 18th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall is our game night. You're welcome to come. Play games, not play games, just, you know, be together in fellowship. Service opportunities? I don't know why my mind went worship. We are collecting items for Three Hots and a Cot, and also collecting items for our food pantry recipients. The list of items are on the back table, and the boxes, the collection boxes, are also in the back. Coming up this weekend, beginning Friday, July 18th, is Brasher Springs Camp Meeting. So first and foremost, be in prayer for that time, for the Spirit to move and be preparing hearts now as we enter into the week. Donations of desserts and breakfast pastries will definitely help Jane out, as she is not cooking those meals. And if you need to know how to get those items to her, Jane will let you know. And she'll be happy to talk to you about Brasher Springs. We're also all invited and welcome to go up there anytime during the camp week from the 18th to the 25th. Also, beginning this week, you know, we've been talking about Richard's short-term mission trip that he's leading to Jamaica for quite a while now. Well, yeah. It's here. It's time. So y'all continue to be in prayer for Richard and the team and the work that the Lord is doing in Jamaica.
And the two teenagers that are getting to go because of you, they're very thankful and want to appreciate that you made it possible for them to go.
Praise God. He works everything through his people. So give him the glory. Coming up in the next month, August 16th, we will be having a back-to-school vacation Bible school. That'll be August 16th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Be in prayer for God to bring our community here for us to be able to love on them, love on these children, and minister to them. Also, too, there's plenty of ways that we can all pitch in and help. So there'll be more to come and all about what we're doing and how you can get involved. But be in prayer. Okay. All right. So we'll have another Bible school meeting the week of the 4th, August the 4th. Jane will let us know when he gets set. Upper rooms are on the back information table for you to pick up. July and August are there. They're free for you to use. Coming up the weekend of July 31st, and I didn't write down all the dates, but there is an Epiphany taking place that weekend. I'll get better details next time. But we do have a sign-up sheet on the table over here in under the window for the prayer vigil. And if you're not aware of Epiphany, and Julia, Jenny, y'all tell me where I say this wrong, but this is for Otago, for the youth boys that live there. Quite frankly, this may be the only time in these boys' lives that they've ever even been told about Jesus. So the prayer vigil is key. And Julia was telling me, it's already covered. That whole weekend, every hour, every minute is covered in prayer. But what's wrong with more prayer? Nothing. And we can help fill in that gap. So there is a sign-up sheet on the back. Julia also is nice to us and gave us little sheets that we can write it down so we can remember when we signed up to pray. I know I need that. But be in prayer for that weekend, for God to start preparing the hearts of those young men, young boys who will be coming that weekend, and that everything falls in place for them to be there. Our announcements and prayer list go out on Fridays via email. If you're not getting the email and you would like to, or if you have anything you would like to add to the prayer list or anything for the announcements, you can let us know by leaving a message on the church phone, sending an email to clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com, writing a note and handing it to Cindy, and she will take care of that. And I'll just go ahead and let y'all know, Cindy's going to be out of town this weekend, so y'all pray that I don't forget to send the email out Friday. Or send me a reminder. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a few moments. I will give y'all some time to pray silently, and then I'll close us. Heavenly Father, giver of all good and wonderful things, we praise your holy name together in this place as your family. We give you thanks for providing us with each other. We praise you for the honor of being able to come to you directly and present the needs of our brothers and sisters and our needs to you. Thank you, Father, for listening. And thank you for responding. Father, you know the names on our prayer list, and you know the names of those who are on our hearts. You know the needs, and we place them in your mighty, loving hands. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, may the tithes, the offerings, the gifts, our words spoken, the meditation of our hearts in this place this morning, Lord, be pleasing to you, Father, our rock and our Redeemer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. It's in the mighty name of Jesus, our brother, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. I don't normally read, you know, the Psalms usually have a little title, and I tend to not read that, but I like this one today. A Psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Notice the words in our next hymn. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Not my circumstances, not my mood, not my anything. He has made me glad. I pray that he has made us all glad today. And as we stand and sing hymn number 25, He Has Made Me Glad, I pray that it comes from a place of joy and gladness, because he has made us glad.
Ready?
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Praise him for making us glad.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Good to see you. Y'all sure look good today. I wonder why. Oh, my glasses are dirty. I have been a football nut pretty much all my life, except the time I was a baseball nut, okay? But I used to like professional football teams. My first preference was the Green Bay Packers. Then I got in love with the Chicago Bears, you know, the Bears and all that. But anyway, in 1961... Some of you may not be that old to remember 1961, but I think I was in the seventh grade then. And at the start of football training camp for the NFL, coached by the name of Vince Lombardi. I mean, he was a legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers. I think Bart Starr prayed for him, okay? He's wanting his team to get back to the basics, to get back to the fundamentals of playing football. They hadn't done so well the previous year. But he walked into the locker room for their first team meeting, and he spoke one of the, I guess, most our special players would be enough to win games, because it takes knowing the basics. And oh, by the way, that year they finished 13-3, 13 wins, only 3 losses. They won the Western Division Championship and went on to beat the New York Giants in the NFL Championship game. So It must have worked. Folks, the same is true of God's church and our Christian lives. If we want to be joyously in love, full of joy with Jesus, if we want to be filled with His Holy Spirit, if we as a congregation want to be growing together as the family of God we just sung about, if we want to win the prize of a home in heaven to live with Jesus forever, it doesn't matter, folks, listen to me, it doesn't matter how many fancy Bible conferences you go to. It doesn't matter how many of the latest best-selling religious books you read. It doesn't even matter how many potluck lunches you attend. For us to be doing the will of our Father and following His Son. His Son was a coach too. Did you know that? He coached those disciples how to be witnesses. He coached those followers the fundamentals of how to share the gospel of Jesus. I know of no better place for us to find those basics, the basics of following Jesus, than what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in the book of Philippians. I'm starting a new series this morning, and it's called Getting Back to the Basics. And this morning we're going to begin that with the first chapter. If you'll open your Bibles, you see the letter to this church at Philippi is all about getting back to the basics. The basics of following Jesus, doing His will, following His commands, living our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, the basics of interdependence on each other, which is the very life of the church family. We need to be the family of God. We need to be together in one voice, sharing Jesus with all the world around us. So, grab your Bibles. We're going to chapter 1. We're going to look at today, I hope we make it all through this, the basics of the gospel, those fundamentals that Jesus taught His followers when He walked on earth. As followers of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, listen, it's this. God is reconciling all things, including you, and you, and you, 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 and even me, unto Himself, through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's that gospel, that good news, that changes everything. Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. Was crucified. He died. And was buried. But He rose again the third day. And is now alive, living in His home with Jesus, with His Father in heaven. And He's awaiting that call when the Father says, okay, go get your children. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, isn't that good news? Especially that part where He says, I'm coming to get you again. He says, to receive you unto Myself. Jesus said, where I am, there you're going to be also. I didn't hear a single amen about that. Where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Good. I could have used a hallelujah too if you want to. But hear me out. The gospel changes everything. That's kind of the title of my sermon today. And today I want us to see the fruit of that gospel. What is supposed to be the results of the gospel on and coming from our lives. I want us to see how the gospel has created a gospel family. That's us. How he creates gospel love and gospel caring within that family. I also want us to see how the gospel gives us a heavenly gospel destiny. And lastly, if we make it there, how the gospel gives us a godly gospel priority. Godly family, gospel family, gospel love, gospel destiny, and a gospel priority. Let's bow our heads. Father, I realize I'm nothing without you, God. But Lord, with you, everything is possible today. Lord, just come down and speak through me today, Lord. Teach us today how we're to be the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing, the gospel family. Look at Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just pause for a moment and think about it. The Apostle Paul and his protege, Timothy, are writing this letter to a church that they had planted in the city of Philippi about 10 years earlier. Paul and Timothy came to this town about, you know, on what was titled, you know, his second missionary journey. He was there about in 49 AD, as best we can tell, way before Jerusalem was destroyed. If you want to read about it, look at Acts 16. We hadn't got that far in our Wednesday night studies, but you can read ahead. I won't be jealous. One thing, back to that football analogy, you better not show up for a team meeting without your playbook. Same is true for God's meetings, God's team meetings, when we come to worship, when we come to Bible study. Where's your playbook today? Oh, I got me a new one today. Well, I took this, actually is an old one I'd never had unboxed. But my kid said the other one was ragged and looked like, you know, needed to be replaced. I've got my new Bible with me today. But a Bible, one of my many, goes with me everywhere. That's just some food for thought. That wasn't a part of the sermon. That's just an extra, okay? Need to bring your Bibles to church. But Paul writes this letter about a decade, 10, like I said, 10 years later. Now it's about AD 60 to 62. Paul was under house arrest in Rome. Now, in some ways, if you read this letter in its entirety, you'll say, well, gosh, that sounds like a thank you note. If you recall, the Philippians had heard that Paul was in prison. So they took up an offering to help with the expenses and to help him stand in his ministry. They sent one of their own to Rome. The guy's name's kind of funny, Epaphroditus. Wouldn't you love to have a name like that? Epaphroditus. And he was to bring the care package to Paul. But that journey was over 800 miles. He didn't just get on a plane and take him over to Rome. In fact, it took him 7 weeks to get there. But over that 7 weeks, it took a toll on Epaphroditus' life. And when he got there, he was sick. He had to be nursed back to health. In fact, it says he was gravely ill when he arrived in Rome. But after recovering, Epaphroditus heads back to Philippi with this letter in his hand. And it's the letter we call Philippians in our Bible. It's addressed to the Philippian congregation, to the church, to their leaders, to their overseers, to the elders and deacons, whatever you want to call them. And in the way Paul always begins, his phrase of greeting, grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, you remember, the customary greeting, if you were a Jew, was what? Shalom. What did that mean? Peace. But Paul adds grace. Because he knew it's by grace that we have peace through our Father in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Look at verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, you're all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love this. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. You remembered me. You sent me a gift. And I'm remembering you as well. I remember you in all my prayers. And I'm full of thanksgiving for you. Folks, I can say that about you this morning. I remember you in my prayers. And I am full of thanksgiving for you. Especially during the time I'm going through now. He remembered them with love and affection. Same as I do you. I think Paul would have remembered someone like Lydia. Remember her? She was a businesswoman. She was from Thyatira, but she dealt in high fashion goods, okay? She would have been at Macy's or some of those Fifth Avenue shops, okay? She marketed beautiful clothes for the people of that day. She was wealthy. She had influence. But she had been captivated by the good news of Jesus Christ. I think Paul would have remembered the demon-possessed slave girl, remember her? She was poor, opposite of Lydia, oppressed, without any rights or any freedoms. And she would have been exploited by her owners. But she was liberated, praise God, by the power of Jesus Christ, by her faith in Him. Paul would have remembered that jailer. Remember the suicidal jailer is about to take his life? Don't kill yourself, jailer. We're all still here. By the gospel, by the power of that gospel, not only just him, remember, but his whole household was saved. All these faces and others. Back in that chapter 16 of Acts. We're going to get there, folks. Probably flashed through Paul's mind. And he offered prayers and thanks for each thought. Gratitude that this group of unlikely people. You hear that? Unlikely people. They had been brought together as a family by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also says, I make my prayers with joy. Why? It's because of the partnership that existed. That partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ from the first day until now. We're no longer strangers. We're partners. Our lives, our pursuits, our destinies are bound together. That's what a church ought to be like. That's how we should treat one another. We're joined together in this partnership in the gospel. That's the way we should be here at Clay Fellowship Church. But Paul goes on to say, the first day you believed and cast all your hopes on the good news that Jesus Christ had died in your place and for your sake. He offered his life to pay for your sin and your shame so that you might be adopted into the family of God to be made right with him forever. When you believe that gospel, from that day on, from that moment, we became partners. Partners in that great work of the gospel. The work that God is doing through our lives. He didn't just say his. Our lives. In your church and in the world. God knit our souls together. He's knitting. Maybe that's that should active verb there. He's knitting our souls together. And folks, it's deep. It's permanent. He's bound us to one another. He has united us as a forever family of God. And that's through Christians throughout the world, but especially here in this place. That's just the beginning. This is just the beginning of being part of the family of God. Look at verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. What God begins, he finishes. Back to football, God never drops the ball. He says, this gospel that has taken hold of our lives, this beauty that captivated your soul, this freedom that God won for you, the life that God has redeemed, It's just the beginning. Listen to me. Look at me. The best is yet to come. Because one day, and I don't think it's very long, we're going to see Jesus. Amen? And he says, we're going to be like him. Also says, we shall see him as he is. And we will be known as we are known. We're going to be ourselves in heaven. Cindy, you're going to still be Cindy. Now, I'm going to still recognize you there. Pat, you're going to be Pat. Now, all your family's going to recognize you as Pat. This is what the gospel family is about. Rich and poor, slave and free, prisoners and jailers, people with nothing in common, God unites in this partnership in the gospel. It's God's handiwork, bringing us together in Jesus. And that's exactly what God wants us to be as a church. His family working together here on earth. Folks, we can't do it on our own. It's the gospel that's going to bring us together. It's going to enfold us into this, might call it uncommon unity. We're all different. You see that? One of the ways you know the gospel is at work in your life or in the life of our church is it brings us together. People who probably never would have otherwise come together. But you're the right people for this time and this season to be here in this place. God's got a purpose for Clay Fellowship Church. And that's one of the things I love about this church. God has brought together a beautiful family. All walks of life, all kinds of socioeconomic strata, all kinds of diverse backgrounds, even different denominations, different ages. Well, maybe we could use more different ages, but you know. He's made us partners in the gospel by His grace. You can't explain a church, even us, except for the grace of God. It's God's doing. Like I said, we're partners in the gospel. This is a gospel family. But we better live like it. We have to live, someone said, into it. Because the question is, will we, I'm talking to myself too, allow the gospel to redefine our social circles? Yeah, I said that. Will we allow the gospel to redefine our social circles? Will we allow the gospel to make us partners with people we would maybe otherwise not be a partner with? Maybe even people we might would despise. But now, because of the grace of God, we're all now part of that family of God, that gospel family. You see, we have to yield to the work of the Spirit. The power. That's what baptism of the Spirit we learned on Wednesday night is all about. is receiving that power to do ministry, to live into what God has made us to be. His church, sharing His gospel. That's the church family. That's the gospel family. The second thing is that we are here for is gospel love and care. Look at verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Well, it's gone from a thank you note to a love letter. Look at that heartful emotion. It is right for me to feel this way about you. I hold you in my heart. I yearn. Folks, those aren't light words, are they? Intense words. I yearn with the affection of Jesus Christ. Even after a decade, Paul's heart is still full of love for them. As he's writing this, he may even be shedding a tear, because his heart was warmed. It's affection by his feelings for his brothers and sisters in Christ back in Philippi. Because they were all drinking from the same fountain of grace. It's that grace that leads us to compassion. It was grace that led those Philippians to send that gift of love to Paul. And that same grace now moves Paul's heart in this prayer for them. You see it? Oh, this is full of deep, intense affection, longing. He has feelings, he has emotions for them. And it's okay to have emotions for each other here. Paul knows that this deep affection flowing through his heart comes from who? Jesus Christ. Only place it could come from. I yearn for you all, he said, with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul's affection, I yearn. It's coming from his heart. Every time I read this and I was studying this, I thought of that little children's musical down by the creek bank. I love that little musical. But a little girl sang to her friends, and she sang, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of my Lord. Let's look at somebody and tell them you love them right now. Look at your neighbors and tell them it. I love you with the love of the Lord. It comes from your heart. It comes from the affection and the heart of Christ that's living in you. This gospel, like I said, it not only enfolds us, but it infuses us with these affections. I hope we're not infected. The gospel is not only a grace giver, but the gospel is a love giver as well. It forges deep connections between members of his body. Some of the people I love the most were members of my churches throughout my years of ministry. And it's because of him we learn to love each other. Listen to me, warts and all, okay? And we all have warts, you just can't see some of them. Having received the affection and charity or love of God from Christ Jesus, he says, lavished upon you in the scripture. And that love then begins to overflow. And we become not only full of that love, but we become conduits of that love. Just like electricity goes down a wire, our lives are conduits of that love to others in our congregation and others in the world. The gospel does, it says it, does it? Love one another. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. That love is the love of Christ. And right here in this place, we get to practice that love on each other. As he loved us, we can share our love with each other. But you also have the opportunity to share that love with those in your families, with those who you meet daily, maybe even with those you don't even know, but you have an opportunity to share that love. The question is, I'm full of questions always, aren't I? Will we allow the gospel to realign our hearts, our affections? Will we allow our hearts to not be selfish and want to love for ourselves, but we're willing to give that love away? Are we willing to let that love bind our hearts here in this place together? Are we willing to allow Jesus to give us a sacrificial, self-giving love to be used here in this place? Are you willing to open yourselves to those kinds of affections? For not only the sake of yourself, not only for the sake of those seated here this morning, but for the sake of those out there that need to know the gospel. Will we live in that love? Will we yield to that love, that gospel love and care? The third thing we see in this letter is our gospel destiny. Verse 9. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. What a prayer. He prays that your love, our love, may abound more and more. That it'll grow, that it'll multiply. Your love for God and your love for each other and the love for the world. Abound, overflow. That it be unfettered by yourself. Because it's unlimited, because its power is from the Holy Spirit. He says, I pray that love will be abound. With knowledge, because love without knowledge is just aimless and soft. But love with knowledge, what knowledge? The knowledge of who Jesus Christ is life-changing. It's wise, it's discerning. It's a love that sees what is good and excellent, what's true, what's real, what's beautiful. It's a love that's going to propel you and me forward to become more and more like Jesus, like Christ Himself, that we, on that day, might be pure and blameless. In ourselves? No. In Christ Jesus. That we might stand full of the fruits of righteousness because we were a gospel family and we showed gospel love to others and each other. You see this? Abounding love, growing in knowledge, full of discernment, so that we become excellent and pure and blameless, righteous on that day. If we are, God is going to shower us with unforeseen glories. But this gospel I'm talking about today, it not only binds us together as a family, it not only gives us affection and love for one another, but it sweeps us toward a common destiny. And that destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Himself. For your glory? No, He says, for the glory and praise of God. I'm sure this Paul would say that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Like I said, he doesn't do anything halfway. For you and me, the people of God. And he's talking to that church at Philippi. For you, the people I love, he says, there's no higher end, there's no higher glory, there's no better dream for us than to stand pure and blameless before God in Christ Jesus. And he says, it's to that end that we all should be working in this place. The aim of your life is not to build a nest egg for you and your family. You hear me? It's not to build a nest egg. The aim of your life is not for your 15 seconds of fame on TikTok or America's Got Talent. Your aim is for your life is not even leisure and fun. The lake, the beach, the mountains, the you fill in the blank. You see, the aim of our lives is that we may be gloriously like Jesus, so that we can stand before the Father in purity. Through Jesus Christ, the blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, blameless and righteous before Him, so that you and I may have glory forever. Got another question. Will we allow the gospel to refocus our dreams? You hear me? Will we allow the gospel to refocus our dreams? We're so interested in careers, houses, lands, cars, things of this earth. But will you allow the gospel to refocus those dreams? Now, maybe some of you are saying, Pastor, you're getting pretty personal now. Hey, you know. Will you allow this vision of standing righteous before Christ, before the Father? Will you allow it to become your prayer, your daily prayer? To become your longing? To become your dream? To be your sole aim in life? Oh, he asks a lot, Pastor. Our gospel family, our gospel love and care, our gospel destiny, and finally this morning, and I know I'm over, but you got to hear this out, our gospel priority. So not only does the gospel bind us together as a family, give us affection, spurs us on to our destiny, but gospel gives us the priority for which we should live and maybe even sacrifice ourselves. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul said, my imprisonment might look like a huge setback, but it's the opposite. Everybody here knows about Christ because I'm in prison. The imperial guard, those 8,000 Roman soldiers that's here guarding Caesar's palace, even the palace knows about Jesus Christ because they know about me. He said, probably everybody in Rome knows now. Everybody's talking about Jesus. That Jewish carpenter from that little old insignificant town 1,400 miles from here. That teacher, that rabbi who gave his life. It's rumored he even come back from the dead. So not only is the gospel advancing in Rome, it's advancing everywhere. People everywhere are talking about the gospel. Some even have a willingness to suffer for the gospel. Paul has a chance to gain influence, and he uses it. Verse 15 says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. God put him there. But those others, they do it out of selfish motive, selfish ambition. Got a lot of those today, don't we? What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ should be proclaimed. He says, in that I rejoice. Most important thing, Paul, was not his comfort, not his freedom, not his rights. It wasn't really even his ministry. Most important thing for Paul was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus that he proclaimed. The gospel teaches us to gladly serve, gladly sacrifice for the sake of that gospel. Will we allow the gospel to reprioritize our lives? Will we allow the gospel to become the most important thing in our life? Will we be gladly willing to serve and sacrifice for that gospel? Will you be willing to cheerfully give of your time, your talents, your treasures, your all for the good news of Jesus Christ? That's the fruit of the gospel. when we live out our lives in Christ. And it's the good news that changes everything. Will you allow the gospel today to change your everything? I presented you today with the gospel. Don't put it on a back burner. You see, there's an urgency. Jesus is going to snatch us away one day, and I'd probably real soon. People need to be ready. And their readiness depends on you, the gospel family. We don't know the hour the bridegroom cometh. The word says he comes as a thief in the night. Are you ready? Is all of your family ready? I know I'm way over, but I got a story to tell. My sister-in-law and I, we've been crying a lot lately. But we said, you know, we're blessed. We know that every single member of our immediate family knows Christ. And we're all going to be together again one day. What about your family? What about your friends, your neighbors, the people you work with, the person that checks you out at Piggly Wiggly? Do they know Christ? If Jesus came today, would they be snatched? Or would they be left behind? Gospel family, gospel love, gospel destiny, gospel priority. Where are you today? Where is our church this morning? You have the gospel right here. What will you do with it? God says there's no more excuses accepted. Just let the gospel live and flow through you. Like they say, from this day forward. I want you to come, those that are willing, to give your life this way. Who's willing to be a part of this gospel family, part of this gospel love, part of this gospel destiny, and part of the gospel priority. I want you to come to the altar this morning. And I'm going to pray that God's Holy Spirit will anoint us to be His church today. Peggy, if you'll come to the piano, and Stacy, come lead us in our song. We're going to stand around here and we're going to sing a prayer. That song is Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Let's sing it together, okay?
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, God. Fall fresh on me.
Oh, Lord, please this morning, fall on us. May your Holy Spirit baptize us this morning in the Holy Spirit to do your work in this place. In Jesus' name. I want you to keep your heads bowed. Somebody, where is Jane? Jane, come on up here. Some of you put your hands and lay your hands on Jane. We're going to pray for the ministry up at Brasher Springs. We're going to pray for Richard and his ministry. He leaves for Jamaica this week, and let's bow our heads. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit might go before them, might work with them and through them, Lord, in their ministry over these next weeks ahead. Lord, we give you thanks for what's going to be done in Jesus' name as we, through them, share the gospel of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless.